Good morning, everyone. I'm going to call the Story County Board of County Commissioners meeting to order. And if you'd please rise, join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. If anybody has any cell phones that are still on, you can turn them on silence, not to disrupt the meeting. Thank you.
The Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We have a full agenda this morning, and on hiatus for almost a month since our last scheduled meeting was canceled due to the groundbreaking of the USA Parkway. So, in the event, we're going to move along now to item number three. This is discussion and possible action, approval of the agenda for this date, June the 21st, 2016. Anybody have any public comment regarding today's agenda? Hearing none, call for a motion to approve.
I'll make a motion to approve the agenda of today's agenda.
I'll second your motion. It's been moved and seconded to approve the agenda for this date, June 21st. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number four, discussion and possible action, approval of the minutes for May the 3rd, 2016. Is there any public comment regarding the minutes of May the 3rd? Hearing none, call for a motion for approval.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes for May 3rd, 2016.
I'll second your motion. It's been moved and seconded to approve the minutes for May the 3rd. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number five. This is approval of the minutes for May the 17th, 2016. Is there any public comment regarding the minutes for May the 17th? Hearing none, call for a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes for May 17, 2016.
I'll second your motion. It's been moved and seconded to approve the minutes for May the 17th. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number six. This is approval of the minutes for May the 24th, 2016. Is there any public comment regarding the minutes for May the 24th? Hearing none, call for a motion for approval.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes for May 24th, 2016.
And I'll second that motion. Then moved and seconded to approve the minutes for May the 24th. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to the next item on the agenda is the consent agenda. Is there any public comment concerning today's consent agenda? Seeing none, call for a motion to approve it.
I'll make a motion to approve today's consent agenda.
I'll second your motion. Been moved and seconded to approve today's consent agenda. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Just to point out on the consent agenda that the first readings for business licenses, there are 57.
I know.
57 new business licenses since our last meeting.
That's the most at one time.
I think so.
Yeah, we went a month. Keep that in mind. The scale is very close, if not a record.
Yeah. All right, moving along now to item number 12. This is discussion only. We'll take no action or public comment. These are committee and staff reports. I think we have some good news brewing in the audience, so I think I'll call on Sean Griffin at Community Chess, Library, and all kinds of other good stuff that he's involved with and associated with.
Sean's at Jim Dodge. Do you want to?
Okay. Do you have anything just under staff? Of course you do. Okay.
Sean Griffin, Community Chess. Just again, hearty welcome to our 25-year celebration this Thursday at the Red Dog 6-8. And I know you as commissioners will need to know to make an announcement if you're all going to be there at the same time. I'm going to save the other big presentation for us.
Okay, very good. Thank you. We work our way left to right. Sheriff, do you have anything today? Sheriff Antonoro?
Nothing,
Sherry Nevin, Community Relations.
Good morning, Sherry Nevin, Community Relations. I'm very happy to report that progress is being made on the Lockwood Community Garden. And several members of the Lockwood community have stepped up to the plate and have been working to get the garden cleaned up. It appears that almost all of the beds in the garden have been spoken for this growing season. Special thanks to John and Marilee Miller for all their help in spearheading the effort in restoring this community garden. Also, a special thanks to Public Works for going down and helping us clear some of the weeds that have just gotten out of control around the area there. So it's looking good. Still some work to do, but I'm happy to report progress is being made. The annual health fair that we've done the past couple years, we're moving it to Mark Twain this year. We did it there the first year, and they had a really good reception, so it'll be there on Saturday, October 8th. We'll be having the Nevada Health Center's Mammo Van there at that event as well, so mark your calendars, more information to come. This weekend, I just wanted to make mention, is the Virginia City Motorcycle Marathon. It's a longstanding Comstock tradition. It'll be held this Saturday, June 25th. Excuse me, this is kind of a something very near and dear to my heart. This year's beneficiary is Tim Lusich, a longtime Virginia City resident, so I would encourage everyone to come out and support Tim. So, I'm sorry. And that's all I have for today.
Very good. Any questions for Sherry? No. Great. Thank you, Sherry. Over in our planning department, Jason Benhagel.
Thank you. NDOT has announced Transportation Alternatives Program funding. They're making 3 years of it available. They're also supplementing some of that funding with some of their surface transportation program funds. So Sherry, Nevin, and I are working together to prepare an application on the county's behalf to address some of the items along C Street. We're trying to work on some scoping issues of anything from curbs, drainage along C Street, attractions, upgrades, all anywhere along the whole corridor of C Street, sidewalks, boardwalks, so on. So as that takes shape, I'll go ahead and present more information for you. But hopefully we can get some money to address some of those issues. Also, the reviewing and proofing of the master plan commenced on Friday, so we have some representatives from UNR, faculty and students that have initiated the proofreading process on that, and that's moving along. And it's tentatively still on schedule to be heard for potential adoption at the July 7th Planning Commission meeting, and then it would potentially be on the August 2nd County Commission agenda.
So. Okay. Any questions for Jason? All right. Great. Thank you, Jason. Next up, over community development, Stacy Buccaneri, do you have anything today?
Stacy Buccaneri, for the record. Just wanted to let you know we have two new inspectors in the community development department, Tracy Curtis and Pete Renault. And they did a boardwalk walk yesterday to let everybody know we'll be doing boardwalk inspections in 2 weeks. And we'll also be checking grease traps and any safety issues that are on the boardwalk.
Okay. Any questions for Stacy?
Not at this time.
Okay. Thank you, Stacy. Over at our Public Works Department, Mike Nevin.
Geez, everybody's been quick this morning. Now it's my turn to take all the time that they didn't use.
Set the clock.
The clock is starting.
Just a few things. Sherry made mention that we did provide some assistance to that community garden group down at Lockwood. And also as part of that, we addressed some drainage issues there near that and try to keep some of that water from running over the hill into the Rainbow Bend subdivision. They were pretty much elated with the way it turned out, and I think it turned out fine. While we were down there, we also did some work on the Canyon Way and Perry Ranch roads, cleaning up some debris, if you will, and widening some shoulders along Canyon Way from about the turnoff to the upper trailer park through up through the cattle gate area and address temporarily a drainage situation where the water comes down a couple of canyons there and crosses the Canyon Way Road. There was an old culvert there that's been filled in for many, many years, and actually we couldn't even find one end of it. So we elected to build a little temporary pond there alongside of the west end of the road there in hopes that it will alleviate some of the major debris that comes across that area down there. So been busy putting in some water line extensions here around town. There'll be some new residential construction on some of the lower areas of Virginia City. It required us to extend a couple of lines down Carson Street and on South O Street, both water and sewer. So those are pretty much complete at this point. The pool did open as scheduled on June 12th, not without a couple of hiccups now and then, a couple due to weather events. As you realize, we had some pretty severe winds here last week and cooled the temperatures down where we couldn't even open the pool last Thursday. Then yesterday morning, we had a big circulator pump fail, and that's keeps the water moving in the pool. We have a spare, but we had issues with it, so we had ended up closing the pool and got that actually back online about 3:30 yesterday afternoon, so we're up and running once again. Mentioned the swimming pool last week. Pool Pack, our county insurance folks, sent up their aqua risk management assessment team, did an inspection of that facility. It hadn't been done in many, many years. They always recommend that, you know, you do a few things here or there, but for the most part, they were pretty impressed with the condition of that facility. And that facility, of course, was built in 1962, opened the summer of 63. So, you know, it's we try to keep it up, and sometimes it's a challenge, but the kids enjoy the little bit of time they get to use the pool in the short summer months that we have up here. So I was pretty pleased with the outcome of the inspection. We don't have the final results yet, but they'll be forthcoming in written form to us. The day after that, we were able to send a couple of our folks. One was our facilities maintenance coordinator, and the gentleman who takes care of the park and pool, Mr. Echeverria, to a seminar that was put on by Pool Pact in Carson City, and they found it to be very, very beneficial. So they brought back a few suggestions as well that we'll be implementing throughout the next couple of months down there at the pool. Last week we had a power failure here in parts of Virginia City. It affected the courthouse. We're fortunate enough that we have folks that are keen to respond and make immediate notification. We knew something wasn't right. Well, instead of having three-phase power in here, we were down to single phase. We found an issue with a transfer switching mechanism that we were able to address in-house within about an hour of responding to the call here. So that was taken care of. Didn't do any damage to anybody's equipment, computers and such. So lucked out on that one. Been working through Far West Engineering and the state BLM on some of these easements that were needed and necessary. Today on your agenda, it's actually Sherry's item, the approval on some of those private property easements and the 6-mile drainage. Another one that we were able to secure was a portion of a private parcel owned by Timothy Collins, United Mining Corporation, on the Ophir Grade Road, and that's for the pending realignment of the 5-mile pipeline from a point at about 2.5 miles southwest of town here in an area commonly referred to as the sheep trough area up there. That's where the sheep, when they're up and around this area, water there. And that's where the line would be moved into the roadway and then tie in to the roadway about a mile southwest of town here near the water treatment facility. So we secured that easement, made the state folks at NDEP happy. They finally were able to sign off on the environmental assessment as far as, you know, getting that little piece of the puzzle nailed in. The archaeological preliminary assessment has been completed on a portion of that project as well as the tank site. They didn't find anything of particular interest to them, which is a good thing on our part. So hopefully we'll not slow the project once the project is finally designed and funding is secured to make that happen. As you are aware, a couple of meetings ago, you approved the grant monies that were received for the Miners Park here in Virginia City. We did finally order the new playground equipment. I know that'll make the folks over at Sean's shop happy. We're looking probably a 6-week or so lead time, but we had to wait until we, you know, got all the paperwork completed and signed off. But anyway, moving forward a step at a time. So with any luck, we'll have that new equipment erected here as soon as it arrives. Tomorrow we'll be striping the 6 Mile Canyon Road, the double yellow. While that occurs, we will temporarily shut down the roadway for probably about an hour, hour and a half, as long as it takes the stripers to move up and down so that traffic doesn't cross the wet paint and create a mess down there. So we'll be controlling that when that project occurs tomorrow. All of the restriping has been completed in the industrial park, and all of the stop bars and signage here that we put in last year have been redone. So they did a pretty nice job. We're down to a mechanic and a half. We had an individual leave. He took another job over in California. So we have an advertisement out currently for that position. That I think closes on the 1st of July. So we're down to 1.5 people in the shop. So we'll get through that and move on, get somebody hired. And I believe that's all I have, and I'm still at zero time, according to Ann. So that was good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I was asked, what's the status of the playground equipment at Miners Park?
I just made mention that we did order that.
Yeah, well, I mean, when do you expect? I thought it was going to be done by the time the pool opened.
No. It would have been done by the time the pool opened had the state and the federal government not sat on their hands for over a year in releasing the grant funding.
So do you have a time frame now? Or?
The equipment is ordered. They gave me a 6 to 7 week delivery time. Okay. So, you know, anybody's best guess, once we get it, we'll get her handled and put back up, make everybody happy.
Do you have any updates on the Highlands gazebo and
Cartwright Road? I'm glad you brought that up because it's something I did forget. The roof on the gazebo we're going to do in-house.
Okay.
Our staff will do that. We're going to do it much cheaper than we could if we had to contract that out. The contract was almost $4,000, so we can do it for a fraction of that cost in-house. The basketball court out there will be striped. I have an approved quote from Absolute Striping to do that, as well as the courts down in Lockwood.
Okay.
So we'll do both of those as well, Jack. The other thing, we'll be putting the bid documents together for the Cape slurry seals, and that will include that two-mile section of Cartwright, and it's part of a, you know, larger county project, naturally, like we did last year. So,
would Cartwright have to go through the crack filling before you do that?
Well, they did a lot of that themselves last year, Jack, and I don't know, you know, that's something that the homeowners might want to take a look-see.
I'll see if they need to do some additional there.
Before that, now is a good time to get that done, naturally.
Thank you.
You bet.
Okay. Thanks, Mike.
You bet.
Over at the Comptroller's Office, Mr. Gallagher.
Nothing at this time, Mr. Chairman.
Very good. District Attorney's Office, D.A. Langer.
Nothing today, Mr. Chairman.
Special Counsel, Mr. Morris.
Nothing today, thank you.
County Manager Whitman.
Quite a few things, Mr. Chairman. I'll speak first to Austin's stuff. He couldn't be here today. He has sent me a staff report and asked me to read it. As Jason mentioned, the master plan is perking along with the good help of UNR. So I'll gloss over that one. And he mentioned the streetscape too, so I'll gloss over that one. Austin and Jason are meeting with USGS and trying to assess funding and availability of a study of groundwater conditions in both the Highlands and Mark Twain. And then Far West is still in the process, I guess, of conducting a land survey of both the surrounding properties at the courthouse as well as, and the courthouse itself, and the Gold Hill Depot and surrounding properties as well. So the surveys have been done. I think we're waiting to get them pinned so we know who owns what, and then we can move forward both with the courthouse annex potentially and also the purchase of the lot next door so we can begin the paving project there. So that's Austin's report for me. I will comment on the annex just briefly. We've made good forward progress, but I expect it to slow down significantly now. It's in the hands of the architect who is meeting with, will be meeting with Justice Harrington, hopefully, and has been waiting for Bert Badeau with Historic to get back, and he's back now. So we'll continue to push for our options. The real catch in this, that since we didn't have a meeting in June, I haven't reported publicly, is Mr. Gallagher came up with a call from USDARD saying they had unbelievable interest rates on extended terms, and did we have any projects? And that caused me to reach out to our construction consultant, Miles, and ask for a quick and dirty highball price on the property, and it was enough to choke a horse. It's upwards of almost $3 million. So that will be where the grind will probably be, because even if we finance it, that begs the question, is it a righteous use of taxpayer funds? Because it's still got to be paid back even if those rates. So we'll continue working on that. And then Hugh and I also meet on Friday, with representatives from the Department of Taxation, their sales tax division. As you know, a few meetings back, you approved a memorandum of understanding allowing us to essentially audit their books with their guidance and help on as to whether or not sales and use tax is being reported properly on projects out of the tribe. We need some clarification as to how taxes flow, particularly when they are on goods that are being delivered from outside the state of Nevada as opposed to inside. There's apparently two different reporting requirements. So we'll better understand that hopefully on Friday, and then we'll come out with a set of ground rules for community development, fire department, and anybody else involved in the process, that if a project exceeds this or you have a single component that exceeds whatever material price we come up with, $500,000 or $1 million, then it's probably worth alerting taxation. We only have 2 years on our sales and use tax audit agreement with the tax commission, so we want to use it very appropriately, but definitely use it because we don't want to be in a position 2 years from now to ask for an extension and having never used it during that time. So I think that's it, sir.
Great. Thank you. Any questions? No? With the clerk's office?
Oh, one question. One cool thing, in the jail, in the old jail here, we're moving right along trying to make it almost a mini version of the conference center. I mentioned this before publicly. Doug Gist and the Peace Officers Museum left their display cases. We're looking for artifacts to fill them up. And we met yesterday with a representative from Piper's Opera House, Andrea Taylor, Daly, excuse me. And apparently there are a number of artifacts potentially down at the SHPL office, including, I think, one very valuable Aquawanzu bottle that was the source of a big investigation back in 99. We hope to be able to borrow some of their stuff on loan, subject to board approval and whoever else may or may not have an interest in that. Jen Chapman, our recorder, has offered up maybe some historic documents. So we do still want to kind of go along the lines of having a self-guided, kind of like mini museum tour of here. Everything will be behind plexiglass with secured screws. Everything will have security cameras, and we're looking forward to being able to better utilize that. And we're trying to turn the lights on during the day so people can always look in there and see it. It looks nice and clean. I've got one old display case that if anybody knows a merchant on C Street or anywhere else that would like to come and take it out of the jail, I'd like to get rid of it. So, it's got a lot of great potential, and I think we can do it for very little money, to be truthful with you. So that's it.
Is there anybody that's the head go-to person on that?
Yeah, it would be a combination of Jesse Fain and Mel Keener, and you can always go to me too. But if anybody's got artifacts that would love to have them behind a display case with a placard, we'd love to have them.
Okay, that concludes the committee and staff reports. We'll move along now to item number 13. These are board comments. We'll take no action or public comment. So, Commissioner McGuffey.
Yes. I'll make the SR 439 groundbreaking ceremony at USA Parkway. There's a big turnout there. The lunch was a little long and hot. The one thing that impressed me most was a good showing from Team Story. I mean, almost every department head was there. And I appreciate that. Thank you. On the other note, St. Mary's, this Saturday they're having their summer art reception. They're at the Art Center. It's the Artisan Gallery. It's a grand opening. It's free to all. That's Saturday at 1 until 4. You show your support, make a pass through there. Yesterday I attended a NACO workshop on social media. It was so good that I and another commissioner recommended that NACO make it a mandatory workshop. It really opened your eyes on what can and can't happen on social media, how it works. Very informative. And of course we have the National Association of Counties conference coming up next month. VMT budget was approved. It appears for the last few runs that they're actually breaking even to making maybe a little bit of money. Okay, and that's all I have. Oh,
great. Thanks, Jack. Our next meeting is going to be July the 5th, day following Independence Day, here in Virginia City. Invite all persons to come up and celebrate. We'll have our annual celebration starting off with the parade at noon, which goes on for usually a little bit longer than an hour. And in the 6 o'clock in the afternoon, David John and the Comstock Cowboys are going to do their annual Second Amendment concert. It's free of charge to all persons. And then usually right around 9:20, 9:25, as soon as it gets dark enough, then the fireworks extravaganza will go off. And a little bit of a change this year is going to utilize the location down where our new Camel Race Arena is and launch from that area. That'll free up the ballpark Miners Park and that whole area there for people to view the fireworks from that end of town, where it's been off limits the last couple of years. So everyone's invited to come up and celebrate 4th of July with us. Moving along now to item number 14. This is discussion and possible action. Acceptance of the renewal proposal from Nevada Public Agency Insurance Pool and approval of payment for fiscal year 2016-2017 funds. Mr. Gallagher, would you like to take the lead on this? Okay. Hugh?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On behalf of Story County, I'd like to introduce Doug Smith, who's one of the principals with PoolPAC. I'll guarantee you that if it wasn't for these gentlemen, our county would not be in as good a shape as it is today. They have done a remarkable job. I know that we were one of the charter members that signed on with this many, many years ago before I got here. And they are an absolute pleasure to work for. They work very, very hard on all aspects of our insurance that you're approving today, and also the public agency compensation trust, which they do just a fine job with that. They have got so many things that they advise us on. They are usually our first call when we think we may be in a jam. And so with that, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to introduce Doug Smith to you.
Great. Good morning, Mr. Smith.
Morning.
Thank you for making the trek up the hill.
You bet. For the record, my name is Doug Smith with the Nevada Public Agency Insurance Pool, and thanks for the kind words to you. Carol Ingalls, as you probably know, is unable to be here, but did spend quite a bit of time with you going over the numbers and the coverages previously. She asked me just to touch on a couple of things and obviously to answer any questions I might. We've reached the point where we're pretty much able to hold the prices on renewals pretty steady, and that's our primary goal now, is really to have no surprises for you as members, so that the premiums stay fairly flat, maybe a little bit of growth with inflation, but beyond that, to try to expand coverages and services, which some of those have already been mentioned. Here this morning, the pools being one that hopefully you benefit from. And just a quick comment about that type of thing. We do those inspections just to provide you with input and thoughts and new ideas maybe. It's not a matter of do or die or anything else as far as the recommendations are concerned. We leave that to you and your staff. The main coverage change that we made this year, first of all, we expanded quake in the last couple of years. This year we increased the flood coverage a bit as values have grown across the membership. Second thing we did, which I think is a real plus, affects the schools, and of course Story Schools are involved with our program too, and that's to provide a student accident coverage. Most of the schools have come up with some sort of solution for that, but what we found is that because they're roughly 40% of the students in most of the rural districts in Nevada would most likely not be able to afford coverage to get involved in sports and that kind of thing. We decided to offer at least a nominal coverage. And in some cases, the schools will actually be able to save money by being able to rely on us rather than have that be something they have to look to separately. The thing that I think probably you'd be most interested in is that for the last, 15 years probably, Story has been one of a handful of entities, maybe a dozen or 15 entities that have purchased a specific pollution coverage. And over the years, there's been a fair amount of money paid into that program. It was not a pool coverage. It was something we arranged, but it was separate from pool. This past year, we decided that we're solid enough now that even though pollution is a bit of a throw of the dice, we feel we're strong enough that we can take that exposure. So in the case of Story, for example, I believe you were able to save about $16,000, I think, from getting rid of that coverage and having it roll into the pool coverage. So the information you folks have probably reflects about a $7,000 overall increase, which is mainly due to changes in property values and people and that kind of thing. It's 2 or 3%. but that's more than offset by the $16,000 savings. So generally a good story, I think, as far as you folks are concerned. One last thing I'll mention, we continually try to look for new coverage areas, and one that we've analyzed in the last year and have decided to try to extend coverage to over the course of the next couple of years is drones. And as of this time 2 years ago, we would have said, no, there are no drones among the rural entities in Nevada. And about 6 months later, we were looking at a video that one of our entities was using for training. It came out of a police department in one of our counties. We try never to mention the names of other entities, but I will mention it begins with an E, and it's in the northeast corner of the state. Anyway, it turns out they were using a drone with a big expensive camera on it and so forth. So when we know about those covers, we will try to provide coverage. So if you know of those exposures or if you're thinking of getting involved in a drone as far as the county is concerned, please just give us a call and we'll try to work with you. Probably wouldn't want you attacking Washoe County or something. Other than that, should be fine. Appreciate your ongoing support of the pool programs. You've got a number of people that have been involved, some of them including Pat, and you in leadership positions. Loss Control Committee, you have folks that have been helping run that, and we appreciate your ongoing support of the programs.
Okay.
Any questions, we'd be happy to answer.
Yeah, well, as we look at the graph that you provided with us, it looks like we've been doing pretty well on our claims there, which helps, I know, this, but
yes.
A reduction in premiums, increased insurance, because I know that we have these big expensive fire engines that are on these policies too. They're brand new, mm-hmm. millions of dollars worth of new equipment
right.
and that. So, yeah. That you wanted to chime in?
Yeah, I just want to add, and I know everybody knows this, but annually I love to brag about this group, even though sometimes I'm often at odds with claims issues, but
part of the deal. Yeah.
Absolutely, it's just part of the relationship. You know, one of the things I always like to put a spotlight on is not your traditional insurance. I mean, we do pay a substantial premium to these guys, but, you know, their coverages, their organization is equal to none, surpasses them all out there in terms of, you know, their processes for establishing overall rates. They send people back to Lloyd's of London, you know, annually. It's an amazing process. But the one I'm really especially proud of that I think never publicly gets enough attention and love, and that is the CHARM, the Human Resource Management Services, that we heavily rely on. You know, there's certainly when you're dealing in personnel matters, there's nothing better oftentimes than a second opinion, no matter how good you may think you are or any of our department heads or elected officials out there. And CHARM under Jeannie Green's leadership is just, I can't say enough good about them. They're always there for us. If we need the opinion of legal counsel, they snap their fingers and bam, we've got somebody from Thorndale. I can never remember all the names that they've got, but those guys, and it's a phenomenal plus service that isn't there with your traditional insurance. So I want to remind everybody that that's embedded in that premium price too.
On the tail of that, I should mention we just Jeannie just hired somebody new for the human resource consulting, a fellow named Marshall Smith, who actually used to be a DA in Elko, so another good addition to the program, I think.
And counsel, counsel is whispering in my ear, it's the last time he's going to sit next to me, that just for the record, our total premium cost, our total program costs are $291,466.60 for the year, and that includes agent compensation of $19,067.91. So really what we're getting, minus Carol Ingalls, who does a great job helping us out as well, is a premium this year of $272,398.69.
So, Commissioner McGuffey, do you have any questions for Mr. Smith? This is an action item, so...
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Referring back to the drones, if the county uses a private contractor to drone an event, then that's out of our... We don't need to worry about that.
Right. Generally,
we just want to make sure they have insurance.
Yeah, exactly. And if you have any questions about what they're doing, you know, let us know.
This is the first time I've seen it in Turkey. Next time, get it to me. So if I understand this right, we have a choice of reducing. That is an increased premium going to a $1,000 deductible. If we stayed at our $5,000 deductible, it would be down in the $273,000 range.
I do not have that option in front of me, but that sounds about right.
I apologize if I spoke out. So I should actually give you.
You currently have a $5,000.
Hugh and I have not. Yeah, we do. That I know. Hugh and I have not had a chance to consult on this, but actually, I'd like to read another set of numbers in the record. And good governance says we can make decisions at this meeting. I apologize for not having a rock solid recommendation, but the option of keeping with our existing $5,000 deductibles. Is $255,765 for the program cost, or excuse me, for the policy cost, $17,903.61 for agent, and $273,669.53. Actually, it would be my recommendation, I'm looking for Hugh to agree with this, it would be my recommendation to stay with the $5,000 cost. We've been able to do that comfortably so far. Saving $20,000 in any one year could happen, but we used to be at either $250 or $500, and our claims experience just went through the roof. I know Sheriff may be aware of some minor, you know, vehicle accident, stuff, just stuff that happens when you're out there driving the wheels off these vehicles. But we're able to pick that up as out cost, and even though it probably drives Doug Donna Squire's crazy. We don't even report those.
Well, would we have more than four claims in a given year that would offset the cost of the premium difference?
Maybe yes, maybe no. But what we'll wind up doing is impacting, I could almost guarantee you, we will impact our claims experience because more will go in, more will have to be paid for. So it's I think you're shooting yourself in the foot, but whichever way you want to go.
So did you look that over, Jack?
Just briefly.
Coming back to here, if we stay with a $5,000 deductible, this is the premium. And if we moved it up to a $1,000 deductible, then it increases a little bit more. So.
So this is the $1,000?
Yeah.
And this is the $5,000?
Right.
When did you come to pool?
About 15 years ago.
Okay. We'd have to have four claims in a given year in order to make up the difference, it looks like.
Mm-hmm. Right.
If I may also, Mr. Chairman, Doug, I've been working with Doug and Wayne. Doug just told me he's been with the pool for 15 years. That's about the same time I came in. I may have come in about 16 or 17 years. And I think for what it's worth, Doug supports keeping with the higher deductible as well and saving the money right now.
Okay.
Your experience has been pretty good, frankly. So in all likelihood, of course, the minute I say this, you'll have a year where you'll exceed the cost. But in the long run, I think it'll save you money.
Well, and as I recall, I think we reserve in each budget. I can't guarantee this, but we reserve at least one deductible event in at least the major budgets, the sheriff's office, I'm sure the FD. So, again, I hate to keep saying we have the contingency, but should we have a bad year, that's what the contingency can be used for.
How many claims have we averaging the last few years? Do you have any idea?
It's right in there, Commissioner McGuffey. You know, I mean, the expensive ones are the personnel ones, and they're very sporadic. You can have three in a year very easily on personnel, and those typically will exceed the $5,000 limit.
Total dollars, I know, are in excess of $100,000 a year. I think your worst year was 2.25, 2 or 3 years ago, something like that. So
Okay, why don't we do this then? Do you want to read the new numbers in for the record?
Sure.
What staff's recommendation is?
Yep.
And then we'll take public comment.
Okay. Staff's recommendation is to accept the lowest option, which maintains our existing $5,000 deductible. The premium cost to the pool is $255,765.92. The agent compensation is $17,903.61. And the total program costs, including all services, are $273,669.53, which is a savings of almost $18,000.
Over the $1,000
deductible.
Okay.
Yes,
so with all this being said, we can open up for public comment. Anybody like to speak on this? Okay. Hearing none. Not only is there savings between the $1,000 deductible and the $5,000 deductible, there's a savings from last year's policy of how much, X amount of dollars? Was it $16,000?
The total would be about $8,000.
Okay, so we're still on $8,000 savings over last year's premium.
With the offset of the pollution.
Yeah. Okay. So, it's staff's recommendation that we continue this insurance with the $5,000 deductible with the total costs, including all services, at $273,669.53. So, I have a motion to approve this.
Yes. Yeah, just give me a second.
Take all the time you need.
This is the $1,000 deductible.
Okay. That would increase the premium. I'll make a motion to accept the renewal proposal from Nevada Public Agency Insurance Pool, known as Pool, and approve an approval of payment from the fiscal year 2016-17 funds for the $5,000 deductible option, which totals the policy brings the total of the policy to $273,669.53.
I'll second your motion. It's been moved to second to approve the renewal on pool pack for that amount. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Great. Mr. Smith, thank you once again. Here.
I need your phone.
All right, let's move along now to item number 15. This is discussion and possible action. This is a work card appeal for John Werner. Mr. Werner? Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, as you approach the podium, go ahead and identify yourself for the record, please.
Joe Baldwin, security director for the Mustang Ranch. Speaking on behalf of Donnie Gilman, who was unable to attend, called out of town for an emergency for another business. We are here today to consider the work card appeal from Mr. John Warner. But he asked that you approve this appeal. You've heard the background about John Warner on a prior hearing. We believe it's improper for work cards to be denied and employees to be yanked out of the workplace based on information that the sheriff refuses to let anyone see. It's not due process. This being said, we called the department and asked if they would issue the worker a card. And we were told, since he made a big stink at the prior meeting, that they would not give him a card and that he would have to appeal. We ask that the letter in this agenda packet supporting this appeal be read into the record, if possible. Thank you for your time. Sean Warner would like to have a few words.
Very good. Thank you, Joel.
Well, that was the first I heard of this information upon the appeal. And my question was over a month ago, why this was. Why this was being withheld. And I really haven't had any answers yet. And I'm just kind of curious, is this the answer I'm getting, that I can just refile repay? Can somebody answer this question?
Can they take staff?
Yeah.
I mean, I would obviously defer to the sheriff, too. The best I can tell you, John, is our ordinances, our laws, if you will, provide the sheriff the option and the discretion that he may or may not, approve of work cards.
One single individual has this discretion over control of my working?
According to our current ordinance, yes.
It seems ludicrous.
Well, will you hear me out?
Okay.
The ordinance goes on further to say that should you be denied, you have the right to appeal to the either full licensing board or the Board of Commissioners. To the Board of Commissioners, which are these two of these three gentlemen. If Lance was here, he'd be abstaining for obvious reasons. So, yes is the answer to your question. Our current ordinance allows for the Sheriff's Office to regulate work cards, but it has an appeal mechanism that you're here today on.
And that's what I thought I had done a month ago, was an appeal.
It was not presented to me to put on the agenda as an appeal. In fact, it wasn't even on the agenda, John. So we could take no action. You had to wait for public comment.
Wow.
So the way the process and the laws requires it.
So if I appeal this today, then it will take another month?
This is the appeal today. This is it right now. You never received, did you ever receive a work card?
Yes.
You did?
Yes.
And then it was taken. It was taken away.
Yes.
Okay. So, but you were never informed on why your work permit was being revoked.
No.
So can you let me know how did this go about? Did a deputy sheriff just show up one day at work and say, "Give me your work card"? Did you?
I was told by Joe that my work card has been revoked and I can no longer work.
Okay. Can you fill us in, Joe?
Yes.
Once again, identify yourself as a
record. Oh, sorry. Joe Baldwin, Security Director for MSM Ranch. Two deputies arrived to pull a work card sent down by the sheriff. There was information that wasn't enclosed that happened back in 1982, I believe, 83?
87.
Oh, 87.
Did they explain what that was?
No, not to me. No.
So the deputy never gave you any information whatsoever. It was just something that was omitted from his application from 19 years ago. Is why.
So I submitted. I told Chris Thompson.
Yeah.
And Lance about it, and I was told to call the sheriff's department. So I called. I believe her name was Brandy. Okay. And then that's when we got the, since there was a big stink about it, that you would have to appeal. At first, I guess he was told.
You called the sheriff's office?
Yes, correct, myself.
And you personally spoke to Brandy?
Correct.
And Brandy told you, since he made a big stink out of it, he couldn't get his work card?
That is correct.
Okay.
And, but I was told on the phone, too, that, Right before I hung up, she said that it was timed out. It was 30 days. He had 30 days to appeal it, or he can go on and just come over up to Virginia City and repay the $62 and get his car back. But since he expired on the time, we're here today.
Okay.
So I don't know. Sheriff.
All right. Sheriff, I have to call on you.
More than happy to shed some light on all of this. This is standard revocation for failure to disclose required information. When Mr. Warner was served, and that's served through the brothel, he was given a letter that stated why the card was being revoked for failure to disclose. Yes, it was for something that happened many years ago that would not have precluded him from getting a card. However, the failure to disclose it is what caused the revocation. He was told, Ms. Burns, one of my admins, worked with Mr. Warner extensively, and in very short order, we resolved the issue. He was informed he could reapply at that time and chose not to. There was never another word said about it until the last commission meeting when he spoke during public comment. So if he's here today to appeal, the same thing stands. As long as he makes the proper disclosures, he will be granted a card, because the issue that was at hand was not a disqualifying act. The fact that he did not disclose it was the disqualifying act.
So is there, in fact, a 60-day window of opportunity for an applicant to go back and reapply?
There's nothing in the ordinance for that. The only time limitations in the ordinance says that they have 30 days to appeal the revocation of a work card.
And if they don't appeal within 30 days, then they must reapply?
Well, I mean, where this was a revocation, it would be my thought that he would still have to come back.
Okay.
And there are people that, and that's something that's kind of silent in the ordinance as far as what happens after that 30-day window. But under these circumstances, it's better to just, otherwise we'd have all of these revocations would be just be waiting out the 30-day time window and coming back, and we could do away with the appeal process. So, and if that's something in the ordinance that needs to be revisited, then we need to revisit that.
Maybe we do.
You explained you had a work card before. Did you issue that work card?
He was issued a temporary work card. That's what was revoked. When one of them comes in and applies, they're issued a temporary work card at that point in time. Once we get the background information back, if there's anything that comes up that disqualifies them, then that temporary work card is revoked.
Like you said, there was no disqualifying cause. That he just didn't report it, basically.
There was failure to disclose, which is in and of itself a disqualifying act.
Was it, I don't know if I can ask this one. Maybe I okay. Was the disqualifying act a conviction or just an arrest?
It was an arrest.
Okay.
I think counsel has some pearls of wisdom.
I was just going to say the way the ordinance is set up is that if you do not make your appeal within the 30 days, it's basically jurisdictional. The board doesn't have the power to do anything. And I don't have any evidence to say when it was appealed and if it was within the 30 days, but I'm guessing that it wasn't. Do you know when the appeal was filed?
This appeal?
Yes.
I do not have a 30-day time.
Yeah, the
first time. I know when I asked, when I spoke with Brandon, it was 26 days on my calendar, the time you came up for the first time on record.
Do we know when the revocation happened? What date?
May 6th, where the letter was served.
Okay, if you give me a minute, I can tell you at least when the appeal was asked for.
Okay.
It's going to take longer than a minute. Chris Thompson sends me a few emails. Okay, Chris notified me of the appeal on behalf of Donnie on June 7th. So revocation was May 6th?
May 6th.
Okay, yeah, we're outside the window period. My suggestion, and I'm going to ask you point blank, you know, if Mr. Varner were to reapply and fully disclose, is it likely he will be approved, as apparently was communicated to him prior?
Yeah, so if he reapplies and he fully discloses, then he will be granted a work card. He was told that within days of the time the revocation took place.
Okay, my recommendation is, I think the circumstances are an exception here. I recall the reaction when Mr. Barner spoke. He's a long-standing veteran of the country, I believe. What's the application fee that's typically paid?
$62.
And as I recall, most, if not all, of that goes to the state. We've got some miscellaneous funds budgeted in the county administrative budget, and if you were to so direct me or allow me to, using my administrative discretion, I would cover the $62 in this one case as an exception.
Yeah, because it appears that since we're out of time, what I mean is it wasn't within the 30-day window. We can't act on this. We can't go ahead and act on an appeal because we're not within the 30-day window.
So I guess just for clarification, so we're really clear, John, you have my card from last time, I believe. If you apply, please fully disclose, okay? And then I will have a sheriff. He doesn't even have to invoice me because it's all general fund monies, but I will cover that 62 out of an administrative fund so that you're not... We missed it by a day, buddy. That's the best I can tell you.
But we can't... This commission can't act on this. Otherwise, we'd be breaking our own rules. With that said, Joel, we've talked to other management down at the brothel, and your team has to work with your applicants to make sure that they get everything on their application, because everything that we hear on these appeals is for the same reason, from not having total disclosure. And the sheriff has to do what he has to do, because, you know, if they fill out an application and he does the background check and these items come up and it doesn't match up, then he's going to pull your cards.
Now we do the check, you know, too.
So, we've had this, you know, with the prostitutes. And what it does, it wastes your time from having to come up here. It wastes the sheriff's time from having to testify. And it wastes the county's time from having to proceed this, simply because not enough homework is being done at the brothel to make sure that your team has assured us in the past that they will work with your employees to make sure that everything is fully documented, which I think means that you guys were going to go out and have a background check. If people who can't remember how many times they've been arrested, do the background checks to make sure that everything jives before they put the application with the sheriff. So
staff's recommendation would be to take no action on this item, because to do otherwise would be a violation of our own law. Mr. Barner and I will work on the arrangements, and he will reapply through the sheriff, and I will cover the costs.
Now, full application, I can do it today and apply for his card today.
That's the man with the answer.
That's correct. Just for the record, my three admins, Jenna, Brandy, and Mary Lynn, bend over backwards to work with these applicants. The majority of these issues are resolved between the applicants. It might be a temporary revocation, but then they're resolved and allowed to reapply. So the fact that Mr. Warner chose not to reapply is why we're here today.
Okay. You've got to wait for the chair to recognize you, John.
Yeah, very good. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. I believe Mr. Warner wants to say something.
Go ahead.
Yes, on that reapplying, I chose not to reapply because I wasn't going to have somebody gouge me on my pocketbook for some petty decision that was made, one person passing judgments on me. And so I asked that in the future, maybe the committee can pass judgments on this as a whole instead of leaving it to one individual. Because in this case, I did my own background check on this individual. And it seems so much questionable information came up. I wonder why he's even in office.
Okay.
Okay. Wait a minute, the gallery.
This judgment that was passed upon me is so petty.
You might feel that way, but here's the deal. The county manager has offered pretty much to throw you a bone, to go ahead and pay for your fee to reapply.
This.
To sit here and criticize the chief law enforcement officer of the county isn't going to give you any brownie points here today.
It's okay, because I have elected to move on from this situation. There's greener pastures out there. I don't care to work in Story County. I don't care to be part of this.
Okay, then we've heard all we're going to hear on this subject today. I don't ever want to have you bring up anybody and do this again, Joel. That's the last time we're going to deal with something like this. That's the end of item number 15, and now we're going to move on to item number 16. As a matter of fact, let's take about a 5-minute recess, okay?